Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. This year's San Francisco Green Film Festival kicks off this Thursday with 70 eco-focused films. Over 90 filmmakers and speakers will be at the festival to talk about one of the most pressing issues of our time. The festival's theme this year is Keep It Wild, with a series of films that inspire us to preserve our wilderness. The other theme this year is The Road from Paris. A lot of filmmakers will be talking about climate change on April 22nd. That's right around the corner. More than 130 nations are expected to sign the Paris Climate Agreement. But is ratification of this global climate deal enough to truly tackle climate change? What else is needed to protect the planet? A number of films give a voice to the people who are fighting for climate change. And today we are joined by Rachel Kaplan, founder of the Green Film Festival. In 2011, Rachel launched the Green Film Festival. It's now the Bay Area's leading festival of films and conversations about people and the planet. And Rachel joins me in studio. Hi, Rachel. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Great to be on the show.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Mark Desina. He's director of the film Not Without Us, a documentary that follows seven grassroots activists from around the globe fighting to ensure that the Paris Climate Agreement makes meaningful commitments. With international activists from the film, Mark will be receiving the festival's Green Tenacity Award. His film, Not Without Us, will have its world premiere at the festival, and it will air during closing night ceremonies on Wednesday, April 20th at the Castro Theater at 9:15. And Mark also joins us in studio. Hi, Mark. Congratulations. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Shalini Kantia. She's director of Catching the Sun, a documentary that explores whether the U.S. will be able to build a clean energy economy. And she's got some great footage in there of a job training program in Richmond, where a lot of young people with very few opportunities learn about solar and solar installation. And Catching the Sun will be screening on Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy in San Francisco at 8:30. And Shalini joins us on the line from Los Angeles. Hi, Shalini. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Rachel, I want to start off with you. You started the festival in 2011, and whenever we have people who start festivals on, they say there are so many more films this year. Is that the case with the Green Film Fest?
Yes. I mean, in part, it's a response to, you know, there's so many films being made. There's so many issues now that are pressing to do with the environment, whether it's the food that we're eating, our air and soil and water, waste and nature, so many different stories from around the world that really we're excited to bring to audiences this year.
What struck you about the films that you watched this year?
Well, I think a lot of what we're seeing in films like Mark Desina's film, Not Without Us, and Shalini's film, and other films throughout the festival, is really the strength of people coming together and responding to change in their communities, change in the climate and the environment, and just really great things that have been done from at the grassroots level.
Yeah, and Mark, there's so much being done at the grassroots level, and it's great that you are going to be joined by four of the global climate change activists who are in your film. And again, April 20th at the Castro at 9:15, Not Without Us will have its world premiere at the festival.
Yeah, the timing has been incredible because they're here for another event, the Edge Funders Alliance gathering, and they, you know, when they told me they were actually going to be at the festival and the premiere, I was ecstatic, and it's going to be a great night to have them there and make that the evening about them.
And so tell us a little bit about your film. You give a voice to people around the globe who are fighting to ensure that the Paris Climate Agreement, which is supposed to be signed on Friday, April 22nd, actually makes meaningful commitments.
Right. So when the agreement was signed, there was the mainstream media storyline of it being a historic success. And our goal with the film is to present the counter-narrative, to present the side from the grassroots activists, the people on the front lines, that the agreement, although historic in the fact that it was signed, it's been 21 years of the COP, the Conference of the Parties talks, that it was signed, but it's very hollow agreement. That, you know, this the commitment of ambition of having 1.5 or well below 2 degrees centigrade above industrial levels is only voluntary pledges from nations. And actually, when you add up the voluntary pledges, the temperatures are slated to be above 3 degrees centigrade. And that's the average. So 3 degrees averaged is actually means 4.5 degrees centigrade for Africa. So our activist from Africa, Nimo Basi, is very adamant that we need to keep 80% of the fossil fuels in the ground in order to get anywhere near this goal that they're talking about.
And for people who don't follow the specifics and don't really understand, I mean, it is hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
So can you try to explain what this deal would actually require the signers to do, these country leaders to do?
Well, that's part of the problem. There's no real requirements. Mm-hmm. It's been slated not as an agreement, but a decision. Many other things about the agreement, so that, you know, they're mandating, you know, this ambition of 1.5 doesn't mandate any emission cuts. So, you know, it's opening the door. It's for us to hit 1.5 degrees, it's opening the door for harmful carbon market mechanisms and things like carbon trading. And it also assumes that there's technologies that are going to be invented to sequester all this carbon capture and sequestration and sinking carbon in the ocean, or, you know, there's even talks about we can manipulate the atmosphere to bounce the sunlight off of the earth. We can just darken it for a while. And it's just, there are just crazy things that are being, the agreement is opening up. And the craziest thing is that there's no mention of fossil fuels in the agreement. It's sort of like having a symposium for the tobacco industry to talk about the dangers of smoking, but there's no mention of cigarettes.
Right.
It's insane.
Well, and since this is going to happen on April 22nd, I'm sure it's going to get a lot of media attention in the coming weeks.
Right.
And so the Washington Post has a piece, and according to this piece, after signing the agreement, the signatories each go through their respective domestic processes to formally ratify or approve. There's a whole string of alternate verbs that are used depending on one's process. And this is according to Elliot Dieringer, Executive VP of the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions. And according to this Washington Post piece, the United States has said that the agreement is not, in its eyes, a formal legally binding treaty, which means that it does not have to be ratified by the Senate. Thus, the formal process is likely to amount to a presidential order or a statement.
Right. That was the strategy on the part of the U.S. negotiators, is to not have anything that they'd have to take to this very bifurcated Congress at the moment. So, it's a very hollow agreement, and, you know, again, important that it was signed, but what now we as people have to really look at it and dissect it. And, you know, interesting thing for me on the title of the film, I thought, you know, going into this process, and we've only been shooting the film for a year. We were in Tunisia 1 year ago, my wife Liz and I, as a producer on the film, 2 days before the terrorist attacks in the Bardo Museum, and the World Social Forum was there. And we thought the film, you know, Not Without Us, was talking about the activists. And we realized in the process of making the film that it's really Not Without Us means you and me. It means all of us, that we have to get involved and get engaged now.
And Shalini, what would you like to add about this climate agreement, because it is going to be getting so much attention in the coming weeks? I mean, how would you explain to people who hear that this is a groundbreaking historic agreement and yet it requires countries to do nothing? It's basically a simple pledge.
Well, I think the thing is that well, my film, Catching the Sun, really focuses on the economic opportunity of clean energy. And I think part of what's happening here is that we've been told a story that sort of making this mass transition to clean energy is going to come at the cost of our economy. And I think the story of Catching the Sun, which follows workers and entrepreneurs in the U.S. and China trying to get jobs in the solar industry, really talks about the economic opportunity of solar energy. And I feel what needs to happen is we need to turn this around and make this about hope for the future and how we can actually shift our economy. And I think it's up to us as individual citizens to see that an agreement like this has teeth. My hope actually is more on the local and the state level, where I think change can be accelerated really quickly. I actually think that a mass transition to clean energy can happen the way the right to marry happened, which is with Congress missing in action, city by city, state by state, until this gets done. And that's really where my hope is in engaged citizenry and local action all over the world.
Well, and your film, Catching the Sun, looks at whether the U.S. will build a clean energy economy. And you spend a lot of time with Van Jones, who started, he basically really traveled around the country saying that we need green jobs. He worked for the White House at some time and then stepped down. We had him on the show a couple years ago when he came out with his book, Green for All. And at that time, green jobs was getting a lot of attention in the media, but we don't hear as much about it today. Where are we today with green jobs?
Absolutely. I mean, we have gone back in time in terms of climate. In 2008, I was just at an event with Van Jones last night here in Los Angeles, and he reminded us that in 2008, the candidate that said climate change was real and that was pushing for cap and trade was John McCain. And now we have, you know, a whole party that doesn't believe in science. And so I feel like we've, in some ways, turned back the clock. But here's the thing, is that I think the exciting thing that I learned in the making of this film is that you don't have to believe 99% of the scientists in order to make this change. I mean, making a shift to clean energy is about innovation, something that we've all prided ourselves on as an American public, on being a country that innovates. We haven't had energy sort of innovation in the last 100 years. It's about national competitiveness and the industries of the future, and it's about the largest economic opportunity of our time. And I feel like the more that we can sort of reframe this issue for the current moment, the more progress we can make.
That is Shalini Kantia. She's director of Catching the Sun, a documentary that explores whether the U.S. will be able to build a clean energy economy. Catching the Sun will be screening at the Green Film Festival Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy at 8:30. We're also joined today by Mark Desina. He's director of Not Without Us, a documentary that follows seven grassroots activists from around the world fighting to ensure that the Paris Climate Agreement makes meaningful commitments. Not Without Us will have its world premiere at the Green Film Fest April 20th, next Wednesday, at the Castro Theater at 9:15. And Rachel Kaplan is founder of the Green Film Festival. She started it back in 2011. Rachel, we were talking with Shalini about local solutions. Can you tell us about other films that focus on that?
Well, we have a number of films by local filmmakers about local issues, whether it's fishing or farming, energy, and other issues to do with California. Oil and fracking is obviously a big issue. And also, we work with a number of partners here in the Bay Area, nonprofits that are out in our communities doing amazing work. So when you come and see a film, not only can you learn more about what's going on around us, but then you can meet people and really find ways to get involved with work being done here in the Bay Area.
And what are your thoughts on Shalini's comments that in some ways we've taken a few steps back? How do you deal with that at this festival? Because at this festival, people are so excited about what's happening. They want to share the films. I've gone to a few of these films. The audience stays for about an hour after to discuss the issues. But then you have politicians in Washington who deny climate change.
I think we have to get people talking about the issues and engaged with what's happening politically, whether it's our local leaders, our state leaders, or national. And another film we have in the festival, which I think would interest people, is called Dear President Obama. This is a new film produced and narrated by Mark Ruffalo, and is really a direct appeal to the president and our other leaders to join the anti-fracking majority. There was it's a longer version of a short film that was called Dear Governor Brown. And I think, you know, how can you lead on climate if at the same time you're fracking the state dry, with 5 million people in this state living within 1 mile of an oil or gas well? You know, these are serious issues. So I think these films can really bring awareness. We can get together. We can talk about what's happening out there. We can see what's happening out there on the screen, locally, or stories from around the world. And then find ways that we can get involved and call on our leaders to lead the way on climate.
We did a show with Sandra Steingraber about the fracking ban in New York. The state made it official last June. Bernie Sanders is now proposing a countrywide fracking ban.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Feel the burn.
But what do you think about the conversation that the candidates are having about climate change?
It's about time. I think, you know, to echo Shalini, the film Not Without Us is not really about the COP. It's not really about the global governing bodies. It's about doing things on a national, local, state level that are really important. But, you know, I think we all have to do, you know, certain things. And you know, the categories that we're looking at is that you need to resist. You have to fight the bad. You have to rethink things. You change the rules. We got to repeal Citizens United. Corporations are not people. Mm-hmm. And rebuild. And you know, rebuild that hope that we need. But you know, invest in the things that are good, that are local, are about, not about necessarily profit, but about quality of life.
Well, since you brought that up, yesterday in Washington, D.C., we saw, I believe, the most arrests in history. Over 400 people were arrested yesterday. They were there for a democracy spring is what they're calling it. And they're calling politicians to get money out of politics. They're calling for voting rights. And these are people from all over the country, and they traveled to the Capitol to express their opinion. And according to reports, the police vans were so packed they couldn't arrest people anymore. And during the day, a lot of the people on Twitter said that there were no media in sight. They were actually yelling, "Where is CNN? Where is CNN?" Mm-hmm. But as the day ended, I saw reports from NPR, CNN, Washington Post, lots of reports. But according to the activists, reporters were not there on the ground. So talk more about that, these movements that just don't get much coverage.
Well, they're going to start getting more coverage. And thank you for having us here today. Because, I considered myself years ago an environmentalist. I mean, that was my entry into this. And realizing, you know, I think it was going to a World Social Forum in 2011 with my friend Mark Randazzo. He opened our eyes to that, you know, as many Americans, we are focused on America. We're so myopic. And seeing a global perspective really changes you, and it really connected the dots for me on many issues. But one of them being that, and especially today, and I think why people are starting to really rise up is that the greatest inequality in the history of mankind is happening now. The destruction of the planet and, you know, systems that we need to live are happening now, and they're connected by the same thing. It's an economic system, rapacious capitalistic system that is based on, it runs on fossil fuels and is controlled by the 1%. So that is resonating. I think all of these things, you know, the Wall Street uprising, all of these things are starting to reverberate and starting to happen now. So I'm happy about D.C. and, you know, it's going to get. We're following the premiere here with the screening in Washington D.C. at the D.C. International Film Festival. So we'll be screening on Earth Day and the signing, the day the agreement is being signed. So we're excited to go there.
Mark Desina is director of Not Without Us, and the documentary will premiere at the San Francisco Green Film Festival next Wednesday, April 20th at the Castro at 9:15. Shalina Kantia is director of Catching the Sun. This documentary will be screening Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy at 8:30. The Green Film Fest kicks off on Thursday with 70 eco-focused films. And Rachel Kaplan is the founder of the Green Film Festival. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you're a filmmaker or a writer, what kind of stories motivate people to act and to change their lives for the betterment of the planet? If there is a film that stood out for you that you have seen that focuses on these issues, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Mark couldn't stay with us in San Francisco, but this is one theme that comes up in your film, Mark, and not without us, he says that we cannot continue like this. We just cannot keep consuming and keep doing business as usual. A lot of people say that consumption needs to get a lot more attention.
Yeah, and that comes from a lot of our characters, in particular Max Rademacher of Alternativa. They did a 187 bike tour, a four-seater bike tour across France and neighboring countries. But it is to really have us look at this consumerist, capitalistic culture that we're enamored with. We're addicted to. So it is a change of lifestyle, and it doesn't mean necessarily sacrificing everything. I think all of us need to look at, what is our quality of life on this treadmill that we're on? Like how much more satisfying could it be if we didn't have to be buying the newest, latest, greatest thing, of which, it feels good for maybe 5 minutes until you get the credit card bill and you kind of pay for it and work harder to get it. So it's really looking at, cooperative lifestyles, looking at, different ways of different economic systems that can be employed that are more about quality of life.
Rachel, did this theme come up in any other films? Any other films tackle the issue of consumption?
Yes, certainly. We have a really interesting film about fashion and fast fashion called The True Cost.
That's one of my favorite issues.
It's called The True Cost, screening on Sunday at the Roxy Theatre. Right. And it's really a very expansive look at where our clothes come from and why are they so cheap. Well, there are many reasons, whether it's the way, they're manufactured or shipped or sold in stores and our demand for them. And then what happens when we throw these clothes away? It creates mountains and mountains of textile waste.
Mountains. Well, and also the people who make the clothes are paid 50 cents a dollar an hour or even less in many cases, in Bangladesh, for example.
Yes. And that's definitely covered in the film, the human rights issues, the workers, and how our stuff is produced, where it comes from. I think another film that's absolutely fascinating is a film called Freightened, because it's about freight and cargo shipping, and really something that's pretty invisible to us. The filmmaker talks about sea blindness because it's out in the ocean. We don't see it. 90% of everything we have and we consume comes by ship. And again, it's a really great investigative look at the shipping industry and how that's driving our global markets and our consumerist culture.
Well, and actually, we do see these ships because we're in the Bay Area,
that's
and
right.
the Oakland port has these massive carts. Mm-hmm. Coming in and out. And we actually did a show about this a couple years ago with a woman who wrote a book where she actually traveled on the ship. I believe it was from China to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's just, to me, it was absolutely fascinating because it's a piece of our consumerist culture that you don't really see, that you don't really think about. This enormous industry of thousands, tens of thousands of ships out there transporting everything we need around the globe, the people that work in this industry, like the garment factory workers, and it's not a good place to be working.
And before we go to break, tell us about the film from Josh Fox, who made Gasland. He traveled to 12 countries on 6 continents and asks, what is it that climate change cannot destroy?
So this is our opening night film at the Castro Theatre this Thursday, April 14th. It's called How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change. And as you say, yes, he's traveling all over the world and asking, what is it inside all of us in our communities that is stronger than the storm, that can bring us together, that will help us in the face of catastrophic change in our environment, be resilient, come together, and thrive and survive.
Today we are talking about the San Francisco Green Film Festival, which kicks off on Thursday with 70 eco-focused films. Over 90 filmmakers and speakers will be at the festival to talk about some of the most pressing issues of our time. And you can find more information about the film festival and film times at yourcallradio.org. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco, a program that relies on engaged listeners. We invite you to join today's conversation by calling toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. Or you can post your question or comment on the website, yourcallradio.org, or send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 from the BBC, World Have Your Say. And at noon today, John Perry and Ken Taylor on this week's edition of Philosophy Talk.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with Yassine Kassab and Leila Alshami about their new book, Burning Country, Syrians in Revolution and War. They explore the complicated reality of life in present-day Syria by giving a voice to opposition fighters, exiles, and courageous human rights activists who are still working inside the country. And then on Thursday, we'll be joined by Michael Waldman. He's president of the Brennan Center for Justice, and he's out with a new book called The Fight to Vote. So we are going to continually cover voter suppression on Your Call, and we will continue that conversation on Thursday. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the San Francisco Green Film Festival. Rachel Kaplan is founder of the festival. It kicks off on Thursday with 70 eco-focused films. Mark Desina is director of Not Without Us. It's a film that follows seven activists from around the world fighting to ensure that the Paris climate talks make meaningful commitments. Mark will be with four of these activists at the debut screening Wednesday, April 20th at the Castro at 9:15. We're also joined by Shalini Kantia. She's director of Catching the Sun. This documentary looks at whether the U.S. will be able to build a clean energy economy. Catching the Sun screens Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy at 8:30. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We do a lot of shows about climate change, and this festival gives filmmakers a voice to really look at these big issues and start conversations around them. So what are your thoughts on what you want to hear from filmmakers? And if you have a film that really affected you, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's go to Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hello. It just occurred to me I had a different topic to talk about it in one sense, but then when I listened to you talking about film, I just thought, I live in Palo Alto. It'd be fascinating to do a documentary, it seems to me, on what the city of Palo Alto and Stanford University are or not are not doing to try and clean up both the environment within their areas, but also what they're doing to try and change things around so totally that we don't have to rely on fossil fuels, et cetera, in our own city. I think they're falling way down. I mean, I'm so disappointed in Palo Alto. I've lived here for over 50 years. That the city hasn't made a commitment just to go total solar or renewable, nor has Stanford. And I also like to say, it'd be nice to see a documentary, I guess, on the lives of individuals who are living, who may feel overwhelmed by the subject, trying to do what they can. Hell, I try to recycle. I try to ride a bike. I just feel like it's almost, pointless without a total 180-degree change in the way we're living. So I applaud them for doing what they're doing. I haven't seen their films, but excuse me, I'm sorry. Something stuck in my throat. Anyway, that's basically it. I'd love to see sort of an expose on why the community I live in isn't doing more to address this issue.
All right, Greg, get some water, and thank you for calling in. Rachel, are you familiar with what's happening in Palo Alto?
Yes, and we have had films at previous festivals covering this issue. I think the issue of electronics is really fascinating. Again, it comes to what we were talking about consumption, and Mark was saying we want the latest, shiniest thing. And, you know, production of electronics creates a lot of toxins, a lot of waste. There are groups in the peninsula that are working on this and working to reduce toxins in the environment that are down there. Yeah, it's a great conversation to have.
Yeah, and Greg, maybe I'll add this to our show list. We should do a show about how cities actually make these decisions and what happens when the city next door takes amazing steps to tackle climate change, but your city doesn't. Shalini, you did a lot of work in Richmond interviewing people who are trying to increase demand for solar, and you interviewed some city officials in Richmond. What did you learn about how they go about tackling these issues and making these decisions?
Well, Richmond, which is just in the backyard of the San Francisco Green Film Festival, it feels very socioeconomically like Detroit, and I was just amazed by this community that lives essentially in the shadow of an oil refinery and is perpetually sort of dealing with Chernobyl-scale disasters and fires from their refinery. And it happens right across the bridge from Marin County, which is sort of the epicenter of the American environmental movement in so many ways. And so this is sort of what Van Jones calls eco-apartheid in this kind of way, that there are communities that pay the cost, and mostly communities of color that really have paid the cost for the energy system that we have now. And so when I discovered the Solar Richmond training program, I thought, wow, you know, cities that are at the heart of the crisis could also be at the heart of the solution. And I really follow this mayor, this the first green mayor in Richmond, as she goes about trying to, you know, build a solar city. And it's the kind of transformation that needs to happen in cities across the country. In Los Angeles here, they're attempting to pass legislation that would make the city 25% renewable by 2025. And I think the more that we can make these kinds of goals and mandate them and say, yes, we are demanding that, you know, we don't have a free energy system, a free market for energy. We have a monopoly. And usually, you know, whatever your utility pays you, utility bill you receive, you have to pay. And so to demand that we want, as consumers, want clean energy choices in our city, and we want to mandate that our utility get, you know, a certain amount of their energy from clean sources by a certain date, I think these policies are really effective, city by city.
Well, let's hear a clip from Shalini Kantia's film, Catching the Sun. And again, in the film, you interview Van Jones, who's now a political commentator on CNN, and he is founder of Green for All. And this is Van talking about what it looks like to drive from Oakland to Marin.
You've got extremely low-income people. You've got, you know, crime, violence, a lot of economic desperation. You know, you can't be in a neighborhood like this talking about let's save the polar bears. You know, they're not gonna feel you. Right over there, that's the refinery, belching out pollution. The pollution-based economy created a lot of haves and have-nots. If you've been in Richmond and you drive on that bridge over to Marin County, it's a mind-blowing. You're like, what is all this, you know? Hiding it just over the horizon.
And that is a clip from the film Catching the Sun. It'll be screening on Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy Theater at 8:30 as part of the San Francisco Green Film Festival. Shalini, do you live in Los Angeles?
I actually live in New York City.
Okay, so what was it like for you to take that trip with Van Jones?
Well, in so many ways, California is leading the country and leading the world to a clean energy future. And so, you know, learning about the struggle in Richmond, and what I really learned from Van is that if all people aren't included in a green movement, what's been successful, I think, about the environmental movement is in the last decade, we've seen it move from the margins to the mainstream of American culture. And people are talking more about these issues in everyday life. I think the next step is to make an environmentalism that includes everyone. Because when we have industries like clean tech that exclude people of color or women or veterans, what happens is the polluters go to those communities and say, clean energy is going to make you lose your job. And so that's sort of one of the lessons I learned from my time making this film with Van, is that we really need a green economy that includes everyone.
And you focused on some of the solar job training programs in Richmond. There are not many opportunities for young people in Richmond. In fact, you also interviewed some middle-aged people who had been laid off and went through this job training program. Tell us about Eddie, one of the young men in your film.
Well, Eddie to me is such an inspiration because, you know, I saw a young man who essentially didn't have economic opportunities. He didn't connect with college. And for a generation of Americans, that's what manufacturing was. And those opportunities are now gone from cities like Richmond. And through the course of this training program, I saw the light go on in his eyes when he makes, you know, a radio play off of solar energy. And I saw him beam with pride when he taught his neighbor how much money they'd be saving as a result of the work that he's done. And I essentially thought, you know, aside from all the gloom and doom scenarios of climate change, I felt like this is a story that's missing, is the millions of lives that are going to be transformed by a transition to clean energy. And Eddie now has a job. He is about to have his first child with someone that he met in the training program. And so he is really living the American dream because of solar energy.
And are groups like Solar Richmond still training people and getting them jobs?
Absolutely. Solar Richmond is still training people. I think the getting jobs has to do a lot for the demand for this technology. And the more that we can sort of create demand, the more people like Eddie are going to get jobs. And that comes through smart policy.
If you'd like to join us, we're talking today about the Green Film Festival. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Shalini Kantia is director of Catching the Sun. It'll screen Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy in San Francisco at 8:30. Mark Desina is director of Not Without Us. That's tomorrow. A documentary that follows seven activists from around the globe fighting to ensure that the Paris Climate Agreement makes meaningful commitments. Mark will be with four activists Wednesday, April 20th at the Castro at 9:15. Mark, why don't you tell us, I know you probably don't want to pick one or two, but some of the stories that really inspired you that don't get much attention here in the U.S.?
You're asking me to pick my favorite child.
I know.
And I am writing a book. I'll be done with it by tomorrow, so we'll be able to do that. Well, I can't pick a favorite, but just to draft off of what Shalini was saying, that the grassroots and the frontline communities are where the change is really going to come from. And Cindy Weisner is from the Global Grassroots Justice Alliance, and she represents a lot of the coalitions that are fighting the fight on all fronts. And that's the great thing that's happened, is these coalitions are forming, the Climate Justice Alliance. They're finding that, you know, if you're fighting the refinery in Richmond, there's so many other communities across the world and across the country who are fighting the same thing, and many times with the same corporation. So they're getting together and really building their strength by sharing their stories. And, you know, that's the film Not Without Us is a, you know, about the COP, but it's really, I said it's going beyond the COP, but it's about these groups all coming together. You know, the fact that Cindy can be in the same room with Nimo Bassi from Nigeria and Candy Mossett from the Indigenous Environmental Network, and again, a big force that's rising up right now is the Indigenous people who have been pushed off their land, and they're, you know, now there's the fracking that's happening and the Bakken boom, and horrible things are happening environmentally and socially in those areas. So it is, you know, those characters that are finding strength in being together. I think, you know, the one thing about doom and gloom, I think that they're all films on the spectrum are important. I think you need to see the horrors, the doom and gloom, that the fact that, oh no, you know, this is really, really bad, and they can be motivating. But I also think the stories of hope and the personal stories of of the activists, and that's one of the things that we try to do with the film is not just portray activists as these crazy people who get in the street and, you know, shout and chant and hold banners, but they actually have had personal transformations with themselves to make them become active. And hopefully, by seeing those stories, you'll inspire people or audiences to find that moment in themselves to make the transformation.
Let's hear part of the trailer of the documentary Not Without Us.
40,000 negotiators from nearly 200 countries are descending on the French capital for the United Nations Conference on Climate Change, or COP21.
Instead of lowering emissions here, we're going here. Are we moving forwards or backwards?
The civil society, being inside, means we get to stand in hallways. It doesn't mean we get to participate in the actual negotiations.
It's up to all of us to keep fossil fuels in the ground and stop climate crimes now.
In order to limit the increase of the temperature, we need to leave under the soil around 80% of known fossil fuel reserves.
Wherever the oil corporations went, there was hope that things were going to change for good.
That is one of their drums. Yeah, of course.
They're going to have their negotiations inside. We're going to have our mass action on the outside.
Police have now confirmed at least 4 attacks in the city of Paris.
The government decided to cancel everything that we were planning for. This is not okay to suppress all kinds of civil society voices.
Chevron, Total, Exxon, this is an opening to corporations.
They paid for access. This is clearly the corporate capture of the COP.
It's just an empty declaration because there's nothing on that paper to show that they would do anything to achieve 1.5 or well below 2 degrees Celsius.
L'accord de Paris pour le climat est accepté.
And that is the trailer for the documentary Not Without Us. It'll have its world premiere at the San Francisco Film Festival Wednesday, April 20th at the Castro at 9:15. Mark DeSena is director of the film. Huge congrats, Mark, because you had to work quickly to put this film together. I'm just realizing, wait, that'll happen last year. Usually documentarians come on and say they've been working on a film for 5 or 10 years.
I blame Rachel.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so, I mean, we need this information now, and the timing is incredible because the agreement will be signed on April 22nd.
Right. And a big motivation, not only to premiere the film in our hometown and at the Castro, but is that the movements are engaging again in May. There's a big push to keep it in the ground is one of the big campaigns from 350, and a lot of the other local activist groups are fighting. And so this film is a reminder that this historic agreement that was signed is not so historic, and we really need to look at what it is that we need to do.
We have an email from Henry who wanted to correct me about what I said about Democracy Spring, the over 400 arrests yesterday. He says these arrests were not the largest, and I was talking about people fighting to get money out of politics. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Henry. On May 3rd, he writes that in 1971, more than 7,000 people were arrested in D.C. in protests against the war. They didn't have enough jail spaces, so they locked us up in RFK Stadium. Overall, 12,000 people were arrested that week. Well, thank you for calling in, Henry, or emailing. And speaking of people fighting to get money out of politics and over 400 people being arrested in Washington yesterday, Shalini, your film features Debbie Dooley, who's the founder of the Green Tea Coalition. And she talks about how the Koch brothers funded groups like Americans for Prosperity are fighting local solar initiatives. Can you tell us what you learned about that? Shalini? Did we lose Shalini? Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Rachel, do you know about these efforts by the Koch brothers? No? Okay. We're going to look it up because I read about it, but I don't want to talk about it without knowing the facts. So let me go to an email from Amy. And she writes, from all that I have read, tipping points have already been reached, and we are set to move far past 2 degrees Celsius by mid-century, if not sooner. Arctic methane release is almost assured by many climatologists, methane being a more powerful greenhouse gas than CO2. She writes, climate change cannot be stopped, only mitigated. It is worse than being reported, although the mainstream news is slowly, slowly, and very gently prepping the public for more scary news. What do you both or three of you, if we get Shalini back, what do you say about that?
Well, I really draw a lot of inspiration and hope from the films that we see every year. And I think that's why it's important to see these stories and to come together in a place where we can talk about what we're seeing, stories from all over the world. And we were talking earlier about how the mainstream media is covering issues. And I think this is why, I mean, kudos for me, hats off to all the documentary filmmakers we work with, because they're really stepping in and reporting on what they're finding out there globally. And bringing those stories to audiences, things that we just wouldn't know about otherwise that are happening. And I think you can find really just positive and inspiring movements and individuals that are doing great work and showing that there are ways to move forward and that we can do something to act on climate.
Yeah, it is happening. I mean, the caller is right, and we need to act quickly. And that's one of the things in the agreement that they talk about, is that they're not going to take action until 2025. It's 10 years, and they're saying the window of time is 10 years. So, yeah, we have to step it up. And, you know, the thing is, the caller talked about Palo Alto. I mean, studies out of Stanford that we can actually make this transition now if we just have the government and the political will to make it happen. I mean, you know, the financing was another huge issue in the agreement. The mitigation, loss, and damage. And, of course, it was watered down to have no legally binding commitments. It was all put in the appendix of the agreement. But if we just look at some of the tax havens, if we look at the money that we spend in military in 1 year, we can make this transition very, very quickly. I mean, we need to do it. We need to do it.
Shalini, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay. Sorry about that. So we had an email from a listener who said that the fact is that climate change cannot be stopped, only mitigated. And I wanted to ask you what climate activists and people who are fighting for change are up against, because in your film, you feature Debbie Dooley, who's the founder of the Green Tea Coalition. And she talks about how the Koch brothers are funding groups to fight local solar initiatives. And Rolling Stone had a piece about this back in February called The Koch Brothers' Dirty War on Solar Power. What did you learn about that?
I think we're in for the battle of our lives. People have a tremendous amount of money to lose in making this transition to clean energy. Our energy system has been propped up by our tax dollars and sort of given way to the most powerful special interests in the history of the world, and they're not going to give up without a fight. And so it's up to everyday citizens to say we want a different economic system.
This piece reports that the price of solar panels has dropped by more than 80% since Obama took office, and the solar industry is beginning to compete with coal and natural gas on economics alone. And it goes on to say that there are efforts to stop green energy projects in Arizona, Nevada. There are really big fights in Florida. And Shalini, what are people like Debbie Dooley, who's the founder of the Green Tea Coalition, doing to try to stop this? I mean, the Koch brothers are a $1 billion network with their supporters. They're expected to spend about $900 million on this election alone.
Right. I mean, people like Debbie Dooley are amazing, because here you have a right-wing Tea Party activist who is all about solar, and that is because she believes in breaking up these monopolies and really having free market for energy. And so she essentially took on Georgia Power and, you know, and work with Sierra Club, by the way, across the aisle, to bring clean energy choices to Georgia. So it's to say that we really can do this, left and right working together.
Rachel, is this something that comes up at the festival about these powerful interests that are working to block a lot of the work that your filmmakers are doing and trying to give a voice to these activists? I mean, the film Merchants of Doubt.
Yes.
You know, we did a show about that one, just about how the climate, or the, like people like the Koch brothers are using the tobacco game to try to sell doubt to the public, and they're pretty successful at doing it.
I think so. And I was just, when we were talking about this, another film we're showing came to mind, which is about oil and clean energy and the military. and actually a huge drive within the US military to move to renewables and clean energy. And it's perceived as a national security threat that we're so dependent on oil to power our military. But it's being blocked by Congress, of course. So I think, you know, it came up in the discussion now that the military is a huge consumer of oil. But they also have the power to really lead this change. And there's the will within the military to do that. That film's called The Burden. We're showing it on Monday at Roxy Theatre. We have a panel discussion after the film led by Truman National Security Project with several members of the military on the panel. So I think that's a great way to come and raise some of these issues and talk about where the change can come from within the halls of power.
And so there's the Senate is working to block this?
I believe it's the Congress has been working to you know, maintain our dependence on fossil fuels.
This isn't really getting much attention. Can you name another film that you're excited about before we end?
Well, as Yelsa mentioned, another theme in our festival is Keep It Wild. We have many stories about people that are out there protecting our wild spaces so we can all enjoy them. We have many films about our national parks, Mount Denali, and our wild spaces here in California. And a sort of banner film for this theme is Born Free, which will be showing as a 50th anniversary screening at the Castro Theatre. The star of the film, actress Virginia McKenna, will be joining us. We're very excited. And really to honour the legacy of that film that for 50 years has been inspiring people to for lions, Elsa the lioness is the star of the film, and to care about protecting animals in the wild.
Mark, final thoughts, just briefly, the power of film to raise awareness about these issues?
Well, I'd end with a question someone asked me about the film and saying, do you think it really matters that people get out on the streets and protest? Does it really make change? And I would say after doing this film, absolutely. We all need to get out in the streets. And it's actually fun to get out there and, you know, have a purpose and you know, make your voice heard.
And Shalini, final thoughts?
Just grateful to be part of this amazing festival to raise these issues.
Thanks.
Thank you. Shalini Cantillas, director of Catching the Sun. That film will screen on Saturday, April 16th at the Roxy at 8:30. Mark Desena is director of Not Without Us. He and four activists will be at the world premiere Wednesday, April 20th at the Castro Theater at 9:15. Rachel Kaplan is founder of the Green Film Festival. And I hope you can check out some of these films. 70 films kicking off on Thursday. Shalini, Mark, and Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with Yassine Kassab and Leila Alshami about their new book, Burning Country, Syrians in Revolution and War. They explore the complicated reality of life in present-day Syria, drawing on firsthand testimonies from opposition fighters, exiles, and courageous human rights activists working inside the country. So what are the realities of life in Syria today? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, Matt Martin is executive producer, and Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.